In our second reading, we heard the phrase, "We do not know how to pray as we ought." I think we may all have an experience of that. Prayer can be difficult, and sometimes we feel like we're doing it wrong, or we don't know how to do it. But the church always has that in mind and is always trying to help us out with how to pray rightly. As the maxim goes in Latin, lex orandi, lex credendi. The law of praying is the law of believing. So how we pray affects how we believe. Similar to how to practice. You know, if you practice wrong for a sport, you're gonna do it wrong in the game. If you practice poor shooting technique in practice, you're gonna shoot poorly in the game. So when we pray, or how we pray, you know, it affects what we believe. And the church always has that in mind when it sets up how we pray together and how our liturgies run. So it structures them in certain ways to make sure that our praying is leading to right believing. Because if we have the wrong beliefs, well, we might be led astray and led down wrong paths. And we don't want to go there. So the church is always for right understanding and a deeper understanding of what's going on. And so for that reason, we have the church establishes, you might say, rules in a way that things go so that it's all correct. So we know you can go to Mass throughout the world and it's all going to look the same. It always follows the same pattern because it's instructional the way it's set up. So for example, you know, at the beginning of Mass, we have the penitential rite. It's one of the first things we do. We call to mind our sins. We ask for God's mercy. We repent. And that follows the example of you know, salvation history. How John the Baptist came first. He came before Jesus, calling us to repentance, calling the people to atone for their sins, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And so we do the same thing. We prepare for the Mass. We prepare for the coming of Jesus in the Scripture and the coming of Jesus in the Eucharist by having the penitential rite at the beginning. That's an example. And then even our liturgical season is set up in a certain way to help us in our right believing. So we have Advent, where we look at salvation history. We figure out how the Messiah is prophesied, and so we await his coming and see the fulfillment. And Lent, it's a call to penance, and we focus on how Jesus took our sins and died on the cross and saved us. In the Easter season, we look at how the resurrection changed everything and how the early church started to grow and spread that amazing message. And then in ordinary time, we look at how it is to be a Christian in ordinary time, in day-to-day life. So again, the church structures things in a way to teach us how to rightly believe and rightly pray. So we come to Mass, we're reminded of what has happened in our history, and we're instructed further in our faith. So we repeat the Creed to be reminded of what we believe. We go to the Scriptures to be reminded of what Jesus said, and even to learn more, to dwell on it further, to enter into a deeper understanding of what God has said to us. And then we're strengthened. We're strengthened to go out, to live the Christian life for one more week. We're strengthened to be a witness to God's truth in the world, to share his love in the world. So we're strengthened when we come to Mass. You might say the Mass has a sacred curriculum, and it has, you know, it teaches us in that way, and it has its own textbooks. So we have the big red missal, which you see we pray out of. It's got the proper prayers for the Mass. It's called the Roman Missal, right? Every church, or every Catholic church that uses English, uses this book. So we all pray the same prayers at the beginning, the middle, and the end of Mass. And it's also got all the prayers for the Eucharistic prayers, so that we're all doing it correctly. And it's also proper to each Sunday. It's unique. And so it follows the theme, and it's connected with the readings in our second book. The other book, the lectionary, which is really the Bible just kind of split up so we can read it different passages every day. So we have these two textbooks that the church gives us to make sure that our praying is leading to right believing. And again, with the lectionary, it's specific readings for every day, and they have a theme every day, and it's connected with the prayers in this one. But there's one more that we're not too familiar with, one more that holds the same authoritative weight as these two textbooks, and it's the ritual or the Graduale Romanum, or the in English the Gregorian Missal. And this one, just like these, has proper prayers for each day, for each Sunday, connecting with the theme of the Mass. But this covers the music of the Mass, the proper music connected with the readings and the prayers to instruct us in, or to deepen our understanding of the theme of that day. So I bring this up because here at Blessed Sacrament, part of our parish priority plan is to enhance the Sunday Mass experience. So part of what we're doing, if you've ever been to the 5:15 Sunday night Mass, you might have heard the motet choir sing. And so they're drawing on this book a little bit more. So this book holds the same authoritative, level as these two other texts. And it's got proper songs for each Mass. So we're going to draw on this a little bit more in that Mass, and we're going to bring it also to the 9 a.m. and the 11 a.m. Masses from time to time, just to try to enhance that Sunday Mass experience, enhance our entering into the prayer of each specific Mass. If you ever go to those Masses, you'll notice something a little bit different too. So we're going to try this, but this also has a little bit different style than just a normal hymn. Sometimes there'll be times where it's just the motet singing and we remain quiet. Sometimes it's got kind of the antiphonal setup, like the responsorial psalm. But part of it we used it today. The Alleluia with the specific phrase right before the gospel comes from this, so we're familiar with that bit, but there's also parts of it for the beginning of Mass, for around communion, and near the end of Mass. So I know you guys who come to the 6:30 Mass tonight might not be into the music, but it is, it's beautiful. So there's three main reasons we're trying to bring this in a little bit more. One, it is instructional. It connects with the readings. It allows for a greater meditation and drawing on different parts of Scripture to enhance the experience or in the instructional element of the Mass. Also, has a little bit more silence in it. It's not us singing all the time at every different part of the Mass, but sometimes we sit and listen to the motet choir sing. And silence is great because it allows us to really enter into the prayer of the Mass, to have that silent time between you and God, where you speak to him in the heart. We take what we've heard and we enter into dialogue with God. And then third, it's beautiful. It's a different type of beauty other than just the organ and a hymn. That is beautiful. But, as the church uses, we have statues, and we have paintings, and we have stained glass windows. And we use these different types, these different mediums of art and beauty to catch us in different ways, to move us in different ways. A statue of Jesus is different than a painting of Jesus, and it teaches us in different ways, moves us in different ways. And so that way we can use different types of music for that same effect, to catch us in different ways, to move us in different ways. And these three things are interconnected. The beauty can lead us to grasp the instructional part a little bit more. And then the two of them, the beauty and the instructional part, can lead us into deeper prayer. So if you make it to the Sunday night Mass or to the 9 or 11 and hear the motet choir, take it in. Try to experience it. See what it's like. And just remember, we're not doing our own thing here. We're not being totally innovative, this thing that you only find at Blessed Sacrament. And we're also not doing something that the church repressed, back in the day, and we're trying to bring it back. No, the The Gregorian Missal is very much a part of the current treasury of the church's liturgy. So we're just trying to bring it in a little bit more, to try it out, to enhance our Sunday Mass experience, because we want Sunday Mass to be more beautiful, more instructional, and more prayerful.